The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We are back on Get Up, and Get Your Eyes Checked is brought to you by National Vision. Perhaps Kirk Cousins needed that assistance here. Jeff Saturday, did this ever happen to you as you were a center? This is Kirk Cousins lining up behind the guard. The ball is off to his left.
It didn't happen to me because I have a very distinctive backside. So it's very easy to. My wife Karen tells me I have a very nice derriere and very difficult to mistake for someone else.
You don't mix up that donkey with another donkey.
Not sure how much more there is to say.
My favorite moment is Alexander Mattison behind him, the running back, who was frantically trying to say, wait,
you don't
the
want
wrong
to catch
guy
that snap.
Over there.
You don't want to catch that snap.
Anyway, the Vikings with that loss there that day. Marcus, what did you think of that?
That was awesome. That was awesome. That lets us know. That lets us know quarterbacks don't know a damn thing.
Thank you.
When they get scared, they whole brain scramble.
All right, we have a huge hour getting set to come your way here as we roll along, and I want to make sure that you know that at some point off the top of the hour here, so just in the next few moments, we expect to be hearing from Tiger Woods. He's going to be holding a news conference down at Albany Club, which is in the Bahamas. It's at the Hero World Challenge, which is his event that he holds every single year, and he will be holding his first news conference since the auto accident in February of this year that darn near took his life. And as he told us yesterday in an interview that he did, he was genuinely concerned that he might lose his leg as a result. So there's a lot to hear from Tiger. We will take that live as soon as we see him start talking. In the meantime, we continue as we come to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Let's roll it, Chrissy. We got a really big hour coming your way. It's going to go with Monday Night Mayhem as we had one of the craziest games of the year last night. It was right down to the final minute. We've got the highlights and we'll tell you what it actually meant for one of the stars. Plus, plenty on the stunner from South Bend. Brian Kelly out. Who will be in after LSU finds its man at Notre Dame? And then, as I just mentioned, for the first time since the accident, you will hear live from Tiger Woods on his future in golf and on what happened that morning. We will take you there as soon as he starts talking here live on ESPN. In the meantime, let's take you to Monday Night Football last night, guys. Taylor Heinicke, the Washington football team, taking on Seattle. Third quarter, tied at 9. Washington second and goal, J.D. McKissick.
Yeah, give it to him down there. He made a lot of people miss. Got the touchdown for Washington.
He had two touchdowns on the night. Washington would go up 15-9 on that score. Then they'd have to go for the two because their kicker, Joey Sly, had gotten hurt earlier in the game, and they get the two, and that winds up being very significant, 17-9. Last gasp here, Seattle. Jeff Saturday, why is Freddie Swain so open?
Yeah, well, it's safety. Poor safety play. Got two guys playing the sidelines, wide open in the middle.
With 15 seconds left, that gives them a chance to tie it with a two-point conversion, but they're unable to do it. Kendall Fuller picking off Russell Wilson in the end zone, and that is that. Washington holds on to win at 17-15. For Russell and the Seahawks, tough night.
Well, the results aren't showing up. You know? The results of the way we're playing, it isn't showing up. So he's got to do better. We all got to do better.
We're in a storm, you know, and you know, I believe that we have to keep going. And the only way to get to the other side is just believing that the water's going to calm down a little bit and we'll be able to get through it. For me personally, I'm going to give everything I have, like I always do, every day, every play, to the very end, the last play of the game, just like tonight, and just because I don't know any other way.
All right, so that's Russell Wilson. As I promised, Tiger Woods has just stepped up to a podium in the Bahamas, and there he is. As soon as he begins to talk, we will go directly to that. You can see there's an introduction being made now. The gentleman sitting to what I guess would be Tiger's right, the left side of our screen here, is an executive involved in the event down there, the Heroes World Challenge, and he's going to begin talking. We won't take that live for you. As soon as Tiger does begin to speak, we will take you live down there to talk about this again. It's the first news conference that Tiger Woods has held since the auto accident in Southern California in February that nearly took his life. And again, in an interview that Tiger did yesterday with Golf Digest, he acknowledged that there were moments in the hospital where he, Tiger, was concerned he may lose his leg. And he did talk about how he does not believe he will ever be able to play full-time on the PGA Tour again, but that, like Ben Hogan multiple generations ago, who was significantly younger than Tiger is now, when Hogan suffered a terrible car accident and terrible injuries, he was never able to come back and play a full tour schedule either. Ben Hogan was not, but he did continue to play in some big events, geared up for those, as Tiger said yesterday, and was able to do it. So that's what Tiger says he anticipates he will be doing if and when he is able to continue playing. We've seen video of him hitting balls in recent weeks and trying to work his game into shape. Again, we don't know when or if he plans to return to the tour in the next few months. We will hear that from him, I would assume, for the first time. So again, as soon as Tiger starts to talk, I can see it out of the corner of my eye here as well, Chrissy. We will go directly there. In the meantime, I'll bring it to the group here. We'll try and do two things at once and talk a little bit about the Russell Wilson of it all here, but we will go right to Tiger when he starts talking. Dan Graziano, Russell Wilson was a huge story.
Yes.
Last offseason, we wondered, would this be his final year in Seattle? The fact that as of last night, realistically, their chances probably evaporate completely. How does that impact all this?
I think it's going to be an even more huge story this offseason. Russell Wilson's contract is easier from a financial standpoint to trade if that's what the Seattle Seahawks decide to do. It's possible he wants out. We know his agent gave a list to Adam Schefter of the teams he would accept a trade to, so it's something that's at least been on his mind. And you're right, Greeny, this season has gone worse than any he's ever had, and it's entirely possible he reevaluates after it's over.
Yeah, I mean, there has been such consistency there over the many years. Yesterday, by the way, was his 33rd birthday, so by the standards of NFL quarterbacks today, that's still pretty young. Dominique Foxworth, give me a spot where you would like to see Russell Wilson wind up.
I'd love to see him with the Saints. I think that that's the spot that would work out really well for him.
Let me cut you off for 1 second. I apologize, but we are going to take you live right now to the Albany Club in the Bahamas. Here's Tiger.
It's been a long 22 months for all of us, not being able to play last year. We completely understand the reasons why with the pandemic, trying to keep everyone safe, and it was the right call. But it's exciting to have it this week. You know, this is our sixth time here, seventh time with Hero Motor Corp. So excited about that and our future with them. The look at the field this year, the strongest we've ever had. It's incredible. The players that have shown up, I think there's eight new players this week that are being introduced to this format and this event. A lot of the players who have been first-timers that have come from this event have started new charities or new foundations from what they've learned here at this event. So we're very proud of that. Some have expanded on what they've been doing in their own charities and their own foundations from what they've learned at this event. So hopefully that trend continues. We have a great week weather-wise. Course is immaculate, so it's going to be a lot of fun this week.
Recently, your foundation celebrated its 25th anniversary and reached more than 2 million students served through its educational programs. Can you share how important this week is to the TGR Foundation?
Yeah, just a couple months ago, we reached 25 years of doing this and serving the under youth kids in the United States and around the world. We've reached 2 million kids either through our different various platforms, but we continue to push our STEM programs. We continue to push our reach and how far we can and how many kids we can serve. There's so much potential out there if they have access, and accessibility is something that not everyone has, and especially it has unfortunately dramatically shown its ugly head during this pandemic, the haves and have-nots, and you've seen students, you know, fall back an entire grade. So we want to make up that gap, and we have some great plans for the future of that, and working with other companies in other states to make that happen.
All right, now we'll take some questions from media that we have in the room with us. We've got a couple microphone holders. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We'll start right here with Dylan DeChere, golf.com, please.
Hey, Tiger, welcome back. The Hero has served as a place where you've staged comebacks before, or comeback from injuries, surgeries, various different things. I'm just wondering this year how different you feel compared to, you know, coming back from other surgeries or injuries in the past.
Well, I've hosted this event, unfortunately, not as a player. You know, in the field, and this year is one of them. So yeah, it'll be fun watching the guys, you know, come here and play and tee it up and, you know, be out there. I miss, because I've been away from the game for, call it, an entire year. I just miss the jabbing, the needling, and, you know, how's everyone doing? And I mean, there's only so much you can do via text and phone calls. You know, a lot happens, and we get caught up a lot out here on tour in locker rooms and having dinners and off-site stuff like that. So to be able to catch up with the guys this week, it'll be fun. I haven't seen majority of them since February. Some have come over to the house. Most of them have texted me, you know, over that period of time, but I haven't physically seen a lot of them. So it'll be nice to catch up.
Steve DiMeglio.
Eric, could I ask a couple? You've been down this road before on recovery. How much more difficult has this one been?
Yeah, this one's been much more difficult. The knee stuff that I had on my left knee, those operations were, I guess, one thing. Then that's one level. Then you had the back, that's another level. And then with this right leg, that was, it's hard to explain how difficult it's been. Just to be immobile for, you know, 3 months and just lay there, and, you know, I was just looking forward to just getting outside. And that was, you know, a goal of mine. And especially for a person who has lived his entire life outside, that was a goal. And finally got to that point, went transitioned from wheelchair to crutches to now nothing. It's been a lot of hard work. I'm very thankful to all the surgeons and especially the nurses who are the unsung heroes through all of it, who were there, you know, by my bed and kept my spirits up, all my friends and family. There were some tough times in there. There were some really, really tough times, and pain got pretty great at times, but they helped me get through it, and I'm on the better side of it, but I still got a long way to go.
And, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, yeah. Steve. And is it too early to have a target tournament to zero in on, like the PNC or Augusta or Open?
I'll put you this way. As far as playing at the tour level, I don't know when that's going to happen. Now, I'll play around here and there, a little hit and giggle. I can do something like that. I certainly like playing from, you know, the USGA suggests, you know, play forward. I really like that idea now. I don't like the tees on back, so I like play it forward. Come on, let's move it up. To see some of my shots fall out of the sky a lot shorter than they used to is a little eye-opening. But at least I'm able to do it again. That's something that for a while there it didn't look like I was going to. But I'm able to participate in the sport of golf. Now, to what level, I do not know that. And, you know, I'll keep you abreast of all of you guys abreast as progress continues to go on, whether or not I'll be out here and at what level and when.
All right, we'll go right down the line here, starting with Mark Cannizzaro.
Hey, Tiger. I'm wondering what you remember of the accident. Obviously, we all saw the result, and it looked so horrifying and scary. And I have a follow-up to that.
Yeah, all those answers have been answered in the investigation. So you can read about all that there in the post report.
And can you speak about what some of the most difficult moments were for these last 10 or 11 months for you? I mean, you skimmed on it a little bit, but what were some of the times that were most difficult?
Well, I think that it's just laying there. I'm laying still. And I was in the hospital for only 3 weeks. I was in a hospital bed for 3 months. So that in itself is difficult. Being assisted everywhere I go, not being able to move anywhere. As I said, just looking forward to just getting outside. You know, eventually I got to a point where they could wheelchair me outside safely and I could feel the sun. You know, that was like a milestone. You know, it's little things like that added up. And then eventually when I started crutching around the house, I'd never, you know, I built a really nice house. But I didn't realize how big it was until you start putting crutches on. there were times where I had to take breaks. But I tell you what, though, there's a point in time where my triceps got pretty jacked. So that was a lot of fun. But as a whole, it's been a tough at times, yes. Some dark moments, but then again, as I was making progress through it too, you know, I could see some light, and that was giving me hope. I'm able to participate more with my kids and their activities, and more, and just in life in general. So I'm on the positive side.
I had a couple of quick ones, Tiger. First of all, do you recall the day you first walked without crutches?
Say again?
The day you first walked without help, without crutches, or?
It was probably about 2 months after the accident. Yeah.
Just.
No, 2 months after the accident, before I walked with crutches. I was in a wheelchair.
I don't know. I meant when the first time you were able to walk like you did coming into this room without.
Oh, without?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, I did it probably maybe a little earlier than they suggested.
And secondly, I've lost track, 9, 10 surgeries before this.
I had 5 knee, 5 back, so 10.
Even 10. None of them involved the kind of trauma, the kind of adrenaline-induced fear that this one involved. And I'm just curious if you ever have any flashbacks to that. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever have any memories, anything like that?
I don't, no. I'm very lucky in that way.
Next question. Spinal fusion surgery, you needed to climb Mount Everest again, and then yesterday you said that you don't really, that you might not have the body to do that. What has that shift been like for you mentally and personally?
Well, I've made the climb up there a few times, and I've had a pretty good run in my career, and I just knew that once I came back from the spinal fusion surgery, I still had my hands. The only thing that was holding me back was my back. And once I realized that was good and it was solid, I wasn't going to have the zinging down my leg. I wasn't going to have the drop foot anymore. I wasn't going to have any of those issues. Okay, well, can I make a swing? Yes. Ooh, I have power. Didn't think I'd have power. All of a sudden, I would play at home and I would shoot scores. Not the 77s and the 78s and they were in the mid-60s without really trying. Like, okay, this is new. Let's see if we can push this a little bit further. So I came back here in 2017 and played in the Hero event and took full advantage of all the players in the field and their world ranking points. Because I think I was 1299 at the time. So was able to climb in the world rankings because of that. And then I started back in 18, started playing a little bit more, and I started building. And once I started building, I realized that after Tampa that I could win. Okay, then I proved to myself that I could take the lead in the British Open. Okay, well, I could close, even though I did not win, I closed pretty good at the PGA at Belle Reve. And then 19, I won the Masters. Okay, well, I don't see that type of trend going forward for me. I won't have the opportunity to practice, and given the condition of my leg and build up. I just don't. So it's going to have to be a different way of doing it, and that's okay, and I'm at peace with that. I've made the climb enough times.
And then just one quick one. Have you played golf holes, like a full hole or 18 holes since the—
Yeah, I play full holes, yeah, but not for my team markers.
Okay.
Hi, Tiger. You've spoken, and again there, about your career being different and being reduced and probably curtailed. But this is because of an accident and because of injury. It's not because you reached 75 years old. Is that easy for you to compute in your mind, or is it difficult that you're going to be stopped or pulled back because of external
factors? It's very easy, given the fact that I was able to come back after the fusion surgery and do what I did. You know, I got that last major, you know, and I ticked off two more events along the way. So, I don't foresee this leg ever being what it used to be. Hence, I'll never have the back what it used to be. And clock's ticking. I'm getting older. I'm not getting any younger. So, all that combined means that a full schedule and a full practice schedule and the recovery that it would take to do that. No, I don't have any desire to do that. But to ramp up for a few events a year, as I alluded to yesterday, like Mr. Hogan did, he did a pretty good job of it. And there's no reason why I can't do that and feel ready. I may not be tournament sharp in the sense that I hadn't played tournaments, but I think if you practice correctly and you do it correctly, that I've come off surgeries before, I've come off long layoffs, and I've won or I've come close to winning before. So I know the recipe for it. I just got to get to a point where I feel comfortable enough where I can do that again.
I have one question for Mr. Munjal and one question for Tiger. Let me start with Mr. Munjal. Mr. Munjal, you have been friend with Tiger for a long time and you have known him for a long time. What is the one character trait in him that you really admire?
That's a tough one, though.
Speaking publicly but for clearly, the first time since his car accident in February, and there was certainly a lot in that to digest as we bring it back out here live. That's an executive from his event, the Heroes World Challenge, which takes place this week at the Albany Club in the Bahamas. Is coming back to him here. Are we going to, Chrissy, are we coming out to us, or are we going to go back and hear more from Tiger? Let's listen in. Let's hear one more answer from Tiger.
What do you think of Tiger at a major? 90% of them would say that he would win. Now when I ask people, more than 80-85% of them still think that he will be able to come back and win a major. What does that kind of expectation mean to you? I mean, and do you feel a little afraid that you might let down almost billions of people, of your fans, if you don't do that?
Well, I think it's awfully flattering that people think that highly of my game. You know, I think I've proven that I can play this game at a high level for a long period of time. And it's awfully flattering that they think that I can come back from this and win tournaments and, as you said, win major championships. For that to happen, I have a long way to go. I mean, I have a long way in the rehab process of this leg, and it's not the fun stuff of the rehab. You know, it's just reps and, you know, breaking up scar tissue and things that really hurt. So that part of it's not going to be fun, but the challenge of it is. You know, I enjoy the challenge of getting in there and trying to push it to the next level. Sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back, but you got to go through it. I enjoy that part of it. And maybe one day that it'll be good enough where I can get out here and I can compete against these best players in the world again.
We'll take two in the back right over there, starting with Bernie.
Tiger, good to see you again at the golf tournament.
Hey, Bernie.
I was going to ask you, are you in any pain sitting in there now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to get too personal, but you know what are you experiencing there at the moment, sitting there?
My back hurts and my leg hurts.
Yeah. Can I ask you? You probably answered this question a little bit already this morning. But what gets you through these dark patches you've had in your sort of in your life? What does it say about your character?
Well, it's having a great support system, great friends, great people around me that are positive and upbeat. But it's also the unfortunate part, experience. I've gone through tough procedures before in the past and then been sidelined and have had to recover. And having that past experience has helped. And just understanding the patience of timelines. You know, then when someone says that, like when I blew out my ACL and broke my leg, it was, you know, you're out for 9 months. Well, that's kind of a bummer. You know, nine months without it coming back to sport. Okay, well, you know, then back fusion surgeries, knee operations, and all those different timelines. Just understanding that having the patience, you know, within those timelines, how much can we push and how much we can't push. You know, that's you have to push until it hurts, but then you can't go overboard. You know, that's the hard part. But I've had so much experience in that regard that, yeah, I know. Okay, well, okay, we've taken it a little too far. Let's pump the brakes. We'll stop it right here. Okay, you haven't pushed me enough. Now this is a good day. Let's continue to go.
Good to have you back, Tiger. Yeah. Good to have you back. And one question for Tiger and one for Dr. Munjal. Tiger, you've often spoken about your children, Sam and Charlie, for whom you want to play golf or to be able to play golf with them, Charlie in particular. This is the first time that they are seeing you go through what you're going through right now. Before that, they were far too young. So, like, what's been their reaction and the way you're trying to kind of get back to the golf course, especially for Charlie?
Well, they have known me you know, more for being injured than healthy. You know, most of their lives, I was going through my back operations. So, you know, I was the guy sitting in the chair right in front of the TV playing Call of Duty while they're at school, and I just had to sit there and let it heal. And so they would play around me. They were so little. It was a surprise to them. Then they realized that I could play the game. So that's why the Masters was such an important family moment for all of us, for my mom, Sam and Charlie, all my friends, because it was, that's what they've seen. That's what they've grown up with. They don't remember any of the other times because they weren't alive yet or they're too young to remember. So in this case, it's like, back to normal again. Dad's not able to move. And so little things like that, to be able to go out there and do activities now with them, to watch my daughter play her soccer games and Charlie to play tournaments and to talk to them about it and to see them grow up and hear the verbiage that has changed, you know, as kids grow up. A little bit of an eye-opener at times to hear the words that come out. I'm definitely not in the know. A lot of things. I'm not the hip, cool dad at times. So I'm trying to keep up with that. The lingo changes very quickly, so I'm trying to keep up.
Dr. Mitchell, so you've known Tiger now for 7 years. You joined hands with him at a very crucial stage, you know, when a lot of people were thinking whether Tiger's going to be Tiger.
Okay, and so
again,
that was Tiger Woods, again, in his first news conference since the auto accident that took place in February that nearly took his life, and as you hear in a somewhat resigned tone in his own voice, has certainly altered the course of his career. I was taking notes. Just bring it out to everybody here just so I can go through some of the notes that I took as he was talking. He began by talking about how much he has missed being a part of the tour, missed being around everybody. He says that this recuperation period for him has been, quote, much more difficult than the others. Remember, he's come back from multiple knee surgeries, multiple back surgeries, but this was an entirely different kind of circumstance. He said it was much more difficult. He described tough times. He used the phrase a long way to go before he can get back out and try and play, in his words, tour-level golf. He doesn't know when that's going to happen. A lot of uncertainty in his voice and his tone about when he might be able to play, and I know many were waiting to hear if he would say anything about the accident itself. In February, he definitively closed that question down, saying, quote, all the answers are in the police report, and making no further comment. So clearly there was nothing more he was going to say about that. That's Tiger Woods this morning here live on ESPN. Dominique, what did you take away from that?
I just hope for him that he, handles the psychological journey well, and he's conscious about that, and the people around him are conscious about that. He talked a lot about the physical rehab, but there's no x-rays or MRIs to deal with what he may be feeling. And I think that's something that no one will see, and it's hard to anticipate, but it's something that's inevitable when you are something that you are defined by, which Tiger, more than anyone that we know since the time he was a toddler swinging a golf club, is defined by his ability to play golf. To have it taken away so suddenly, I think is going to be a very difficult journey for him to go through, and I hope that the people around him are prepared to give him the support that he needs, not just pushing through the rehab, the physical rehab, but the emotional and psychological rehab too.
What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think the biggest thing for me is when he was asked the question, are you hurting right now? And he's like, absolutely. My back and my, to think about, how far he has been removed from the surgeries, but still how bad his body hurts. And to Neek's point, man, for athletes, that plays big tricks in your brain. And to deal with that pain as you're sitting in a press conference, and we don't know what level of pain, but he doesn't seem like one to mix words, and he's not, this guy's gone through some significant pain in his life. So to talk about that, I thought to me was very telling. He has a long road ahead, and he understands that journey, and it is going to be a battle. And hopefully, for somebody who, for us who watched him in his prime and how great he is, that he gets back to the tour even at all is a miracle. It would be fantastic to see him, even if he has to do it as what you talked about with the way Ben Hogan did it, man, just to see him back on the course would be incredible.
He described it there, the very limited fashion in which Ben Hogan came back. Very quickly, the details on that, because we can't assume people know this. Ben Hogan, at the age of 36, who was already the preeminent golfer in the world, was in a terrible car accident. They said he'd never walk again. He walked out of the hospital 59 days later and won 6 major championships as his life and career went on. Again, he was 36 at the time of that accident. Tiger Woods is 45. He'll be 46 in December of this year. The circumstances are not exactly the same, but obviously there is a parallel. Dan, what are your thoughts here?
The line that stood out at the end was that his children have known him more for being injured than healthy, yeah. Right? Like, I have teenage sons who don't understand what the big deal is, right? Like, right. Why we talk about Tiger Woods so much. So it'll be a generational thing where we all remember how great he was, and you try to explain it, but you're not going to be able to succeed, how great he was, and how much more it should have still happened, right? Like, right. I mean, he should have been able to run down Nicklaus and all those records, and he obviously won't get to now. So that's the shame of it. Obviously, it's not a tragedy because he's survived. But it is it's a disappointment as a sports fan, obviously, that yes. you didn't get to see
in a
all
variety of ways.
Done.
Marcus, we'll give you the final word.
I think what Jeff and Foxy said about the mental part, but it also, I look at it another way. It could give you perspective. And not only him taking his time to get back to the game that defines him, which we all agree upon, but also put it in perspective. You know, like, we talk about these athletes, especially when they are at the level of a Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan, where it just becomes insatiable. And we think about Kobe Bryant and the Mamba mentality. Sometimes these type of things, if he wants to work back, to play more majors, have an opportunity to win more, it may provide perspective about his journey and how to get there, as opposed to the Tiger that probably would push through and try to the back pain and push through the leg pain. So I'm interested to see if he really takes his time. Obviously, the injury takes time and the things that he has to go through from a physical standpoint. But going to the mental and psychological part, I wonder if the perspective and almost losing your life, it sometimes can make you think about and go about things differently. Doesn't mean you won't be successful. Doesn't mean you will be. But it may make your approach different. So I'm interested to see not only how long it takes him to get back from a physical standpoint, but his approach when he's actually on the golf course again, if it's going to be more about appreciation than really focusing and locking in on, I got to win, I got to do this. Sure, he wants to win, but his perspective may be a lot different every time he steps on the golf course now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And his perspective will probably change over the next few weeks and months, depending on how his the physical piece of it all goes. But he was talking about his greatness in the past tense. If you listen to it there, he was referring to all of his dominance of the sport in the past tense time and time again, which I think gives you a glimpse into where his head is now. Anyway, those are the first comments from Tiger Woods in a public setting like that since the accident back in February. Let's move on to the other enormous move of this day, or the news of this day. It was a move that shook the college football world. Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame to become the new coach at LSU. He became the winningest coach ever in South Bend earlier this season. Now he takes over at LSU to replace Ed Orgeron. Kelly sent a text to his team overnight, and you can read part of what it says up there, apologizing for the late night text. Not being able to share the news in person that he's leaving Notre Dame. Says he was flying back to South Bend tonight to meet with you in the morning, to his players, but the news broke late today. I'm sorry you found out through social media or news reports. Bear in mind, it was just over a week ago that Kelly denied interest in other coaching jobs.
I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? You know, unless that fairy godmother comes by with that, you know, $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
It obviously looks vastly different than it did when he was saying it a couple of weeks ago. So let's bring the crew out here. And again, let's deal in the immediacy of this. Heather Dinich, I will start with you. Notre Dame, the program that he now leaves behind, has a very real chance of winding up in the college football playoff when all is said and done as we head towards next week. What, if any, impact does this news have on that?
It shouldn't have any, because as you hear Selection Committee Chair Gary Barta say every single Tuesday, they do not project ahead. So they have to evaluate Notre Dame on its face at 11-1. And remember, this is exactly the way they evaluate teams who may or may not have a starting player in the lineup the following week for an injury or a suspension. We saw this in the first year of the playoff with Ohio State when JT Barrett went down against Michigan. They knew that they would have have Cardale Jones in the Big Ten championship game, but the committee didn't penalize them for that because they didn't look ahead. They evaluated Ohio State at that moment, and they moved them up one spot to number four.
And, oh, by the way, Ohio State won the national championship that year, which is the interesting completion to that. By the way, I was just sent a note here. LSU has announced the deal. It's 10 years, $95 million plus incentives. And they say that Kelly will meet the media tomorrow afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Paul Feinbaum, your reaction to this enormous news.
It's an extraordinary development, Greeny, to think that someone would leave Notre Dame. That has always been the gold standard in college football. But LSU is really more impressive these days than Notre Dame. They won three national championships down there since Notre Dame won its last. And I think that's what Brian Kelly wants. He wants a national championship. He lost to Nick Saban 8 years ago. He's lost to several times in the playoffs, including to Alabama again last year. And I think he concluded that he could not win one at Notre Dame. He can at LSU because Saban has won down there, so has Les Miles, and so has Ed Ogeron 2 years ago.
Well, when Saban was the coach there and won a national championship, Marcus Spears had a pick six in that game. So you obviously know this all too well. Marcus, the idea that he has, if indeed this is his reasoning, and it makes sense, that he feels he has a better chance of winning the whole thing at LSU than Notre Dame. What do we think of that, and what, if anything, do you make of this hire?
Nah, G, he doesn't know. He doesn't feel that way. He knows he has a better chance of winning a national championship at LSU. This man has almost a 75% winning percentage over his career. So he's a winner. Brian Kelly wins football games. And all you know, like you and Paul and Heather and the folks that cover college football talk about the playoff. And I pay attention because I love college football. And I think we have the best minds that's covering it. You just got to get in. But Brian Kelly realized, once I get in, there is a different level to the teams that I'm playing against. We've heard coaches talk about this before in the past. P-Town and I, that's what I call Paul Feinbaum, when we were at SEC Network. Coaches always say, when you get to the SEC, it's a different level of player. And Brian Kelly acknowledges that. And I know people across the country don't want to hear that. And it doesn't mean other programs and schools can't win national championships. But when you have a resume that Brian Kelly has, when you can attract the type of players that you can attract at a program like LSU and come into play in the SEC, because all of these young kids are thinking about, I can go to the NFL and have a long career, you get better players. You have more of an opportunity to compete on the highest level when you get to the college football playoff. And I'm sure that's why the decision was made.
Heather, I have to bring up one name here. And you raised the name Luke Fickell earlier this morning because Notre Dame becomes an enormous opening here. But the name Urban Meyer is going to be mentioned all over the place. And it is unrealistic to think that it will not at least come up. He was most certainly heavily in the discussion before Brian Kelly wound up taking that job now more than a decade ago. What, if anything, should we be saying about Urban Meyer and that possibility today, Heather?
I don't think it's a good idea. I don't. You know, Urban... Urban's made his choices, and not all of them have been great. Is he a good coach? Yeah, he won at Ohio State. We've seen some issues. We've seen some videos. I'm scarred by those videos. I'm not going there, Greeny. Sorry.
I could not.
That's fair enough. I understand all of that
right now.
But Paul, I'll give you the final word just on this, because we all know that the one thing that matters more than anything else is winning. And Urban Meyer on the college level has the highest winning percentage since World War II of any coach. That includes Saban and anyone else you want. Do you see any possibility of that?
No, and you're right, Greeny. He could have had the job when Brian Kelly got it. He turned it down to go to Florida, where he won two national championships. I think he's burned that bridge, and quite frankly, I think it would be an atrocious choice. He has burned out everywhere he's ever been. He has not shown us anything at Jacksonville, and I think Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director, is far too smart than to make a mistake like hiring Urban Meyer.
Fair enough. That's well said. All right, Paul, I'll talk to you on the radio later today. Guys, thank you. Heather and Paul, outstanding as always. Let me bring it out to the group here, because this obviously is a story that has reverberations everywhere. This is Brian Kelly's new Twitter handle, by the way, his new bio. The new avatar already has all the LSU gear on it. Colin Baton Rouge. We are told, I'm being told literally as we speak here, that he met with his Notre Dame players this morning for 11 minutes.
11.
I don't have any further details on that conversation.
11 minutes.
Is he wearing this much purple?
Notre Dame had hints of purple.
Hold on.
Had
don't let Lincoln Riley off the hook either. Like, both of them need to be in this conversation. 100%. And I was thinking, like, when the coaches come into your living room, we've been through the recruiting process. They tell your mom and dad, like, yeah, we're going to help turn him into man, get him ready for the real world. And I was kind of annoyed by that in light of hearing all this news. But then I realized, nope, they're doing it. They're just don't trust real anybody. World. You're going to get lied to. It's all a business. We're trying to get more money. So whatever people tell you, don't necessarily believe it. Because I assume when they were going out recruiting this year, they were like, yeah, I'm going to be here. And when all the guys were in the program, they told them the same thing. So I don't begrudge them moving on because it's a business. But let's treat the whole thing like a business. Not only certain people get to treat it like a business, everyone should be able to
treat it like a business. Let's treat the athletes like a business, too. Like, guys who don't play in bowl games that we all want to hammer and say, oh, no, not a true team guy. Really? Breach. Are these true team guys? Give me a freaking break, right? Like, this is a business. So as I look at this, I don't hold ill will to them. I just want them to be honest. If a better job comes along, I'm going to jump. Yeah. Same way, if a better school comes and gets you, you should jump, too. Like, that's the bottom line of this business. But nobody wants to – nobody. The hypocrisy of it is we allow coaches to play under one set of circumstances and rules and players another. At the end of the day, everybody's looking out for the best interest of themselves. Just be honest about it.
Yeah, that's why I have much less issue with this in the transfer portal era. That when players didn't have and were bound by all kinds of rules that coaches weren't, I had a real problem with that. Now, everyone's free to do whatever it is they want to do. What do you think, Graziano?
I look ahead to January and like the coaching carousel stuff, what we report on. If you put out there a college coach's name, people get very upset. And I mean the people around that coach, because let's say you mention Ryan Day at Ohio State, which I'm not doing, by the way. I'm not. Then Jim Harbaugh is going to call up all Ryan Day's recruits and say, hey, did you hear? He might be interested in that. So that's specific. That's just an example, but it happens all the time. And that's the reason they don't want the perception out there that they ever might leave until the moment that they leave. It's a very weird setup.
Yeah. And Marcus, I'll give you the final word. Go.
They say it's a very weird setup.
Very weird setup.
No doubt. Hey, look, the bottom line is, man, I fought this battle. G, you know I covered the SEC. I fought this battle. I went crazy and visceral when Kirby Smart blocked players from going to certain schools. Mm-hmm. That was just crazy to me that a coach could do that and he could up and leave. Listen, personal story. My senior year in high school, I'm getting recruited by Miami and LSU. That's my final two schools. I sat in Butch Davis' office. He looked me dead in my eye and said, I'm not taking the Cleveland Browns job. Literally. These eyes right here. And I left that recruiting trip. I was excited. They had Jeremy Shockey had just got drafted first round. I was a tight end coming out of high school. I'm like, I can go to Miami. I can catch passes and go to the NFL. It might have been a few days later or a week later. Butch Davis is announced as the head coach for the Cleveland Browns. Now, by that time, I was going to LSU anyway. But, bro, this is not new. Not new at all. And Foxy made a great point. Now that the business of college football has opened up, everybody knows this now. But if you thought that this is the first time that this has happened, you are very naive and you haven't paid attention. The restrictions have been off for these head coaches. I'm glad they are for the players now.
That's extremely well said and a perfect capper to the conversation. All right, we are jam-packed this morning. Let me take a short break. Brady and Bill, both with 8 wins, both at the top of their respective games. Which one has a better chance to get to the Super Bowl this year? I'll answer that question next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We need your help. I need your help. We need money for research. It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love. And it's very important.
There's nothing better that we do, nothing more important that we do at ESPN. Today is the launch of V-Week. We can all be a part of something big today by supporting cancer research needed now more than ever. If you are able, please give at v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes directly towards cancer research. All right, if you were just joining us, let me take you through what happened in the Monday night game last night quickly. Seattle and Washington, a back and forth sort of strange affair. There's Taylor Heinicke and his best friend last night, Dominique, was J.D. McKissick.
Yeah, McKissick was a problem in the red zone, getting touchdowns and not selling for three.
Great blocking, baby, great blocking. He would take that in for one of his 2 touchdowns, and then because Washington had their kicker get hurt during the game, they had to go for 2, and they get it. That winds up being a significant moment here, so it's 17-9 in the final minute. And Jeff, why is this man so wide open for Seattle?
No idea. It looks like the safeties are playing sidelines. I don't get that. Fox, they make a lot of mistakes like that. A lot of mistakes made.
And so then they have a chance to tie the game with a 2-point conversion here, but they're unable to do it. That's how it ends right there. Russell Wilson picked off in the end zone on a 2-point conversion try. And so Washington gets the win for Pete Carroll and company. All the more frustration. So Seattle falling perhaps hopelessly out of it. And our good calls brought to you by Subway today. The good calls believing in a Washington defense that has finally gotten back to the level that carried them to the playoffs last season. They're allowing under 20 points per game. During their 3-game win streak, they now have a 21% chance to make the playoffs, according to our Football Power Index. Meanwhile, don't miss the latest in the series, Man in the Arena, Tom Brady, presented in part by NerdWallet. Episode 3, The Edge, debuts today exclusively on ESPN+, in which Brady talks about the exhaustion he felt after winning his 3rd Super Bowl in 4 years.
I was tired. I think everything comes at a cost. And when I think about that moment in my life, I wish I could say it was like exultation, total happiness. But I think I was becoming a bit overwhelmed by all the different expectations. Part of my leadership ability is I care a lot. And when I care a lot, I want to do a lot for other people. But it took a toll on me. I needed to regroup. I needed to figure out how I could make it work going forward.
All right, don't miss it. Episode 3, Man in the Arena, Tom Brady, streaming exclusively now on ESPN+. Don't look now, but there's a real chance that we wind up getting Brady and his old coach in the Super Bowl. With 8 wins each, the Bucs and Patriots both sit at the top of their respective divisions. Our FPI says both of them have top 5 chances to make it to the Super Bowl. So, the question of the morning, the question of the year in pro football is, which team are you more confident in? Which of those two, is it going to be Bill or is it going to be Brady that makes it to the Super Bowl this year? Graziano, I'll start with you.
I'm going to stick with Brady. First of all, who might argue with FPI, 30% to 19? I mean, the math is done for us, right? Look, I just think the Buccaneers have a better team. I think the Patriots are really locked in right now. They're playing great, but you know, rookie quarterback's never been to the Super Bowl. It's just, at some point, there's going to be a crack there, and I think the Buccaneers have shown us they know what it takes.
That's one vote for Tampa Tom. Dominique, how about you?
Right, and the Patriots have never shown us that they know what it takes, so I'm going with the Patriots. I mean, I think you're right. The Bucs have a better team, but I think the Patriots have a better situation. They have probably, in my view, a better chance of getting number 1 seed, and then their competition, I don't think, is nearly as tight as they have on the NFC side. So I think I'm going with Bill Belichick because he knows a little bit about.
No, I agree. The Bucs have a better team, but the Patriots have a lesser league, you know, that, right. that they need to try and get out of, if you will. Jeff, who you got?
They wouldn't let me put the pick board like I want. I want both teams because I want to see them play each other.
Yeah, man.
Epic! Let's do this! But I'm going to pick the Bucs the same way as Dan because I do believe that Tom Brady, I think AB coming back, you see Gronk, who had a few weeks to take off from the injury, he'll be fresh. And you're watching Byron Leftwich, their offensive coordinator, get Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones more involved in this offensive attack. That's how they won it last year. That's how they'll get back this year.
Swagoo, who you got?
I got the Pats, man, and the simple answer is the AFC is drunk, and they the only team that's sober right now. And the second thing is, man, I thought Mac Jones has been taking steps forward. I'm the confidence in his ability for sure. to potentially win a game for the Patriots is starting to ascend. This team is going to make you play. And in the fourth quarter, they are going to have a chance to win the football game. That's the way Bill Belichick has coached since the beginning of time. So I think the New England Patriots have a better shot because the NFC is tougher and Mac Jones is playing like he can win games for the Patriots as opposed to just being a part of what they're doing.
We will see New England next Monday night against Buffalo and what shapes up to be a huge game. Okay, as we are flying through things, we cannot do a Tuesday without the security. Marcus, I'm giving you the floor right now. You can get your revenge on Jeff Saturday. Who needs new security?
Yeah, he wanted to go to college, so I'm going to go to college. And I'm going to show people getting their head done. My man Aiden Hutchinson just ran through the body cavity. Get out of here, bro. I know you're trying to predict the dude, but you can't. I'm better. I'm faster and I'm stronger. Let me go to CJ Stroud. Shout out to Michigan for getting that dub after 10 years. And this sums up the game in one show, one clip. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a top 10 pick, if not top 5. But to do that against the Ohio State Buckeyes in a win, you need new security, C.J. Stroud. Best of luck to you. My man Trey Hendrickson, I don't know if people are paying attention, but he is getting after quarterbacks in a major way. And listen, Ben had no idea. The Pittsburgh Steelers, well, they Steelered. Everybody got mad at me for saying that they don't get all crazy about the Steelers when they won a couple games. This is why. But Trey Hendrickson told Big Ben, you need new security. I'm going to get the ball out. I was so concerned about being elbow right here, y'all. I almost didn't pick this clip, but it's football. I don't give a damn. Hit the quarterback at all costs. And last but not least, my man John Franklin Myers with the tip interception. But nobody wants to pay attention to how he just threw the tackle out of the way. Now, my only issue with this, stop looking back, John. We need all of our momentum going forward. We are fat. We are not fast. Do not lose ground by trying to see who's going to tackle you. All focus is forward. And you know we're not skilled players because skilled players look up at the Jumbotron. We look back to make sure ain't nobody catching us. But, hey, Tyrod Taylor, you need new security. That's my answer to Jeff. Shout out to Aiden Hutchinson because I love when people run through people's body cavity.
Oh. I love it. That way we had a Jet making a good play on the show. First Take is coming up at the top of the hour. They have a lot they'll get you today. They'll talk about if Russell Wilson's career has already peaked, plus all the wild coaching moves around college football. Top of the hour, Stephen A. Molly, Keyshawn. First Take here on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL
at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tonight on SportsCenter at 6 p.m. Eastern, moments before the new playoff rankings are revealed, Kirk Herbstreit assesses how far Michigan should rise and the SEC championship impact on Sunday's final selections. Plus, tracking the Cowboys' COVID outbreak and rising pressure to bounce back Thursday night and continuing coverage of Tiger's next steps surrounding his road to return to the PGA Tour. SportsCenter, tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Speaking of Tiger, we ran his news conference from the beginning of this hour today in which he talked about any number of things, including the possibility of his getting back out on tour. Here's what he said about that.
Am I going to put my family through it again? Am I going to put myself out there again? And we had a talk within the family. You know, all of us sat down and said, you know, if this leg cooperates and I get to a point where I can play the tour, is it okay with you guys if I try and do it? And the consensus was yes. Now, internally, I haven't reached that point. I haven't proven it to myself that I can do it. Yeah, I can show up here and I can host an event. I can play a par three course. I hit a few shots. I can chip and putt. But, okay, now we're talking about going out there playing against the world's best on the most difficult golf courses under the most difficult conditions. I'm so far from that. Now, I have a long way to go to get to that point. Now, I haven't decided whether or not I want to get to that point.
So that was Tiger Woods, and this was the video, as you see. He finished his news conference and walked out, and you can see he's still walking gingerly, guys, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I think the body changes, but the mind of an athlete like that doesn't change. So I hope that he's able to transition mentally and psychologically.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, his body is.
Yeah, he said he was still hurting his back and his knee, I mean, and his leg in that situation. You see him getting down. That looks painful, and we're all wishing the best, man.
Yeah, again, he's hosting his event this week in the Bahamas, the Heroes World Challenge, and that was why he had his news conference. Bit of a different morning here, but thank you.
We just going to ignore Tiger been hitting them curls and them push-ups, though, with them things popping out their polos.
First takes starts now.